morning. I'll tell you, like I've told the folks at home, if I put something on the board and it's misspelled, feel free to correct me. But the thought I want us to address with the help of the Lord is the price of integrity. I'd like to start out in St. Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read the 28th verse. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" That sounds reasonable. It sounds like an intelligent thing to do, to set down first and see if you have the resources to see your task through to completion. I'd like for us to think about this in a spiritual context with the help of the Lord. I remember many times growing up, coming to camp meeting, not just here, but other places, and being tender to the Lord and yielding myself to Him at an altar of prayer. Maybe my parents praying with me, and sometimes praying by myself. Many occasions at the close of the meeting, or at the time when we were determined to go back to our everyday lives, I remember having this resolve in my mind of, it's going to be different this year. I'm going to come back to camp meeting next year spiritually intact and prospering in my soul. I remember those times. Well, I want us to recognize that it's going to cost us something to do that. We're not going to be able to come back next year spiritually encouraged, still in the fight, still capable warriors in the hand of the Lord in His army, without some cost incurred along the way. For us to feel like that we can accumulate enough resources just here from collecting it from others and be able to live the entire year without making investments and costing us something, I think we're fooling ourselves. I feel like we're making an incorrect evaluation. Integrity is something that is never on the bargain counter. They don't run. I remember years ago going to discount stores with my mother, and they would have, I don't know if they still do this or not, but they would have this little cart with a flashing light on the top. And it was called, I don't know, Blue Light Specials or something. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. But they would push that little cart around, and wherever the salesperson, the associate that worked in the store, wherever they were, you could pick up things in that area and take an extra percentage off. It's called a blue light special. Well, integrity will never be on a blue light special. Integrity will never be on the discontinued shelf or the obsolete shelf. It'll never be on the shelf of overstocked and the things that are going to be rotated out. It's always going to cost the full price. So I'd ask that you pray for us today. I'd like for us to turn to Job, obviously, for a definition of integrity. And we know these verses, they're very familiar to us. The enemy came to the Lord. Here in the 8th verse, 1st chapter, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. It's good for us to count up the cost and see if we have what it takes on hands. Because the reality is, between now and the next third Friday of July, Lord willing, time permits, and that we are all well and able, between now and the next time we come and assemble ourselves like this, you're going to have some tests and trials. The enemy is going to come against you, and there are going to be opportunities for you to fail. There's going to be suggestions. You're going to feel quite possibly that you've been entrapped by circumstances and events of life. There's going to be some misunderstandings, and there's going to be things that's going to cause you to question whether it's really worth it or not. So we find that when Job was actually put through the test, we find in the 22nd verse, it says, In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I'm thankful for that. And that's my definition of integrity. We find that Job was pleasing to the Lord in the good times. And we also find that when times became adverse, that he did not begin to throw his relationship with the Lord, he did not begin to throw that overboard and begin to make excuses and cut corners and look for some way to justify himself in any kind of unreasonable action that he might have taken. I don't believe he took any unreasonable action, but he didn't look for a way to justify himself or to push the blame on someone else or something else. It says in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We could read this account in the second chapter, and we would find that God allowed Satan to afflict his body, took him down to the point that his wife thought he was disgusting and suggested that he turn loose of his integrity with the Lord. And it said that in all of this, Job didn't deviate from his intended purpose of living for the Lord. You know, our perception of what integrity is, it's essential that we have a good perspective of what that is, and that we don't allow that to become distorted and confused. God is depending on us to have integrity. He's looking for it. We find one of my favorite verses over here in Ezekiel 22 about the man standing in the gap. And we find 22 and 30. We'll read that real quick. It says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The point I want us to get a hold of here is that God was disappointed. He was not... This is not something that he felt was acceptable. He looked on at this situation. He looked for someone that would have integrity. And when he looked for that, he didn't find it. Most of all of us have looked for things. Sometimes it's temporally and sometimes it's in other folks. We've looked for something and it just didn't happen. And we went home with a real emptiness, a real hurt in our spirit because that wasn't there, the thing that we anticipated being there. So the lack of integrity disappoints the Lord. It can disappoint other people, but the main thing we need to be concerned about, obviously, is pleasing God. And it disappoints God when integrity is not there. I'm thinking about the expense. That's our real burden this morning. The expense of integrity. What's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you to really have the contact with the Lord? What's it going to cost you to maintain a life that the Lord can put His stamp of approval on? I'd like to consider a scripture over here in Daniel, the third chapter. Pretty obvious point here. Daniel, the third chapter. Read the 16th verse. We all know this story. We've heard it, I'm sure, from youth on up. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. The situation obviously was that they were asked to alter their integrity. They were asked to bow down to the idol. It was being suggested to them that they ought to conform to those around them. And sometimes I fear that when we read these stories, we lose the reality of what it was like to be in that spot. When I read this story, I've heard it read from the time I was old enough to hear. You might say I cut my teeth on it, literally. From the time before I had teeth, my parents were reading these stories to me. And as I literally cut my teeth and began to cut my teeth spiritually, these stories have been going over and over and over in my life. Read them many, many times. So we read that and we focus on them coming out of the furnace. And the victory that's there. And how powerful the presence of the Lord is and can be. And it seems like that the reality of standing there before the king totally I'm talking about myself. It escapes us sometimes. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been called on the carpet by the king? Immense crowds all around you, and you're called up there to stand before the one that's going to make the decision of whether or not you go in that burning fiery furnace. And you're standing there before him, and he gives you, because there's been some personal contact, because there's been a relationship established between you and the king, you're standing there before him, and you have to say, I'm not changing. I'm not bowing down. Can you imagine what that felt like? Can you imagine can you get the sensation of what it's like to stand there? Have you ever been put in a position in your life where people all around you, you had their acceptance, you had their approval, and they had something they wanted to give you that they thought was good? And it was a reward. And because of the terms of the reward, you had to say, thanks, but no thanks. Have you ever been there?
I have. And if you've heard my accounts before, bear with me, but I want to relate it for the cause this morning.
I want us to get a picture of what it'll cost us, because you're going to be faced with that. You're going to be faced with those things.
Several years ago, now, I earned a cruise.
So it went. My wife and I. And when we got back, I felt self-conscious about the environment that I'd subjected myself to. And so I shared this with some others there in the home congregation at the time, and I told them, I don't see how I could ever do that again. I feel like that the Lord kept us while we were in that situation, but that's not something that I would anticipate doing again. My reasoning was that as soon as we got out into what is called international waters, the casinos open, there was lots of alcohol available. There was, I don't know how many swimming pools on the top of the deck of the ship. And we felt trapped. Everywhere we went, there was some kind of vice that seemed like we had to go to our little cabin and stay there and read a book. It seemed like any time we went out and tried to mingle with, I went with a group of people that had received the same reward, and there was probably, maybe 20 couples there. People that was in the same line of work and all of that. And anytime we got out of our cabin and we had a group activity that we were supposed to be, some kind of little get-together, I always felt like I was subjecting myself to... I felt like I needed to put blinders on and go down the halls. And I just wasn't comfortable. I felt like it was like going to... a bad place here, and I wouldn't intentionally do that. It wasn't that the people mistreated me. It wasn't that somebody backed me in the corner and was trying to force me to do something. It just, the atmosphere, I just didn't like it, and I was uncomfortable with the whole thing. So when I got back, I shared this with others, and I told them, I just don't feel like I can do that again. Well, I certainly wasn't going to pay for something like that myself. And, you know, when we make statements like that, many times we feel safe. Because what's the odds of it ever happening again? What's the reality of this ever coming my way? Once in a lifetime opportunity. We've heard that, haven't we? So I felt pretty safe. Not just smugly safe. I honestly didn't feel like it would ever happen again. But it did. And it didn't happen in the same manner. The other one, I knew what to anticipate. And the other one come up from behind. I'm going to give you the details. So, to some extent. So I didn't realize this was coming. And... my service manager at the time said, asked me if I was going home for lunch, and at that time in my life I did. He said, well, call your wife and tell her to come back with you. She needs to come back to work with you. And I thought, what's going on here? I didn't know what they had in mind. I said, well, what do you need her for? And he said, just tell her to come back to work with you. We need her to come back. I said, okay. I didn't know what they had in mind. And so I get back to work, and they page us up to the front. And I get up to the front, and they got the folks there from the newspaper. And so they're all huddled around, and they bring me in there, and up until the point that they hand me this little... Manila envelope with my name on it, I did not have a clue what was happening. So I knew something special was happening, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So when they handed it to me, they told me that I had earned this thing and or received it or whatever. And I when I realized what it was, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do now? I already said that environment is something I don't want to subject myself to again in the future. I'm not doing this intentionally. These people mean good, and they like me. And they're trying to show their appreciation, and they're, if you will, they were proud of me. And what I do in this kind of situation. So... what I'm trying to get us to the point here is to realize what it felt like to be there in front of the king. And we read this verse and can just buzz right through it and say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not careful. We're not going to bow down. And you know, I'm sure that if we went around the room tonight, every one of us that's made a rededication to the Lord during this meeting, every one of us that's come with baggage and has unloaded it and felt the blessing of the Lord, every one of us here that has purposed in our heart, I'm going to do better next year. Every one of us that has made those levels of sincere commitment, I'm not doubting the sincerity of it at all. Every one of us that said, I'm going to get the victory over this thing. I believe the Lord's blessed me, and I know that the Lord met me at the altar of prayer, and I heard the truth preached, and I know where it touched me, and I'm going to make some changes. Here's the deal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked that thing in the face, and they said, "We're not careful." I don't believe that was a reckless statement. I don't believe that it was off the cuff. And I don't believe that they done that without doing a little sweating. And I know that their recognition of how hot that furnace was good. They knew what that fire was all about. They quite possibly had seen others go into that for other reasons in the past. They didn't just build those things for that one occasion, I don't believe. I believe that was a method that they'd used to get conformity in the past. So I felt some heat. I don't want to disappoint the folks I work for. I don't want them to feel that I'm unappreciative. I don't want to disappoint the ones that I go to service with. I don't want them to think that I would say one thing and do something else. I want to be a man of my word. I want to have integrity. I want it to ring true. But more than all of that, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I really do. So when it got right down to it, I had to go. I don't know. You may be able to have a better understanding of this terminology when he says we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. I want to tell you that I went to them as humbly as I knew how. And I told them, I said, "I'm sorry. I can't do it. I do not feel comfortable in that atmosphere. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't do that again if I was paying the bill. And I'm not going to go if somebody else pays the bill." And it was a disappointment to them. It was something that they looked on and they scratched their head and looked at me kind of strange. And they probably kind of huffed and mumbled under their breath a little bit. But it was a point that I felt like I could not go beyond. So I told them, "I can't go." That's some of the price that you may have to pay for integrity. There may be a promotion that you have to say, "I just can't take that. I can't go in that spot because I can't visualize myself being truly acceptable with the Lord in that spot." So what I'm wanting to be for us to be prepared this morning, integrity is going to cost us something. It's not going to come real easy. Not everybody is going to set you up for success. Our efforts here in this meeting, I say ours, I believe the Lord's efforts in this meeting, is to prepare us and to set us up to succeed in our walk with Him. This is not a place or an atmosphere to attack and to drag us down and to send us home discouraged. That's not what the intentions of the services are. That's not what God's intentions for a meeting like this is. But I know that that's not what everybody's intentions is in this world. And that's not what the enemy's intentions is. And we're going to face these challenges to our integrity. We're going to meet some things that was going to cost us to stand by the things that we have convictions on right here in our integrity with the Lord. Well, think too, over in the 6th chapter of Daniel, in the 10th verse, we'll read here. Daniel was under a different administration. You ever change bosses? Doing the same job and get a new boss? Got to start all over again. They find out that you don't do this or you don't do that. Or they find out that you don't drink alcohol, and if they're going to serve alcohol at the Christmas party and they're going to do it in a drinking establishment, that you're going to stay at the house, that you've got to go start all over with that. They don't know that you're not up on whatever the current show is, and you don't know what the where the you don't know the stats on this and that and something else because you don't fill your minds with all of that all of the time. You got to start all over. Get a new boss. You got to retrain them. And it costs something. You know, you get tired of that sometimes. Just having to reestablish where you're coming from and why you're there. So Daniel got a new boss. Different king. In the 10th verse, I don't know how he'd established it, but in the 10th verse, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," you know this story too, that's where they signed that the decree, or got the king to sign it, that nothing should be prayed to or worshipped other than the king. He said, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And as he did aforetime. So he maintained his integrity, did he not? He went back to the same place that he's always been doing his praying. And I believe when he was praying, he was thanking the Lord for the many times that the Lord had worked it out and helped him be willing and able to pay the price for his integrity. I believe he was pouring out his concerns. Lord, here's another king. Here's another set of rulers. Here's another set of co-workers. Here's another set of associates, of peers, that they don't accept where I'm coming from. And they don't understand, and they don't value, and they don't recognize the relationship I have with you. So as he was humbling himself there and praying, I believe he came to the place that he was willing to pay the price. We skip down to the 16th verse, and the king, now it says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." You know, I like that verse. But I'm thinking about maybe moments before, when maybe the king somehow was pleading with him to put on some kind of front, to put on some kind of show, to give a different impression to those around him, to subject his integrity to something that was a little bit questionable, his integrity with the Lord, that is, to alter his allegiance to something besides his God. Can you imagine being in that spot? I don't know the spots that you're in, and I just know the places I get into. The places where our integrity as honest people come into question. And the places that maybe people draw the wrong conclusion. Maybe they feel that we owe them something that we don't owe them. And for integrity's sake, it looks like all we can do is pay the price. And I want us to recognize that the benefit of that. The benefit of that is the happy ending of these stories that we read. The happy ending of the three Hebrew children coming out of the fire, of being able to visualize the Son of God in there with them. The happy ending of coming out of that lion's den and seeing all of those people that was trying to get him in trouble cast in to the lions. Those are the things that we can focus on. But may the Lord help us to recognize we're going to have to be on the carpet. Sometimes it's way more often than we want to be. Way more often than we thought we'd have to be. They started out pretty small. You remember how these men began their walk of integrity with the Lord? It was over food. It was over some pretty small stuff, wasn't it? I just want to challenge us today. I'll try not to bore you with too many stories about myself. I know that if we'll just stop and think, you'll recognize in your own life there's these little areas that start to undermine and infiltrate our integrity and our confidence with God. the place that we can come before the Lord and know in our own mind there is nothing that stands between us. Those things that want to come down and cause us to start to deviate just a little bit.
I'd like for us to go back to Job, the 13th chapter. Start reading in the 13th verse. It says, "Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will." Oh, that sounds like a lot of determination, doesn't it? He goes on to say, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own way before him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him." An hypocrite. What's he talking about here? Someone that knows what he ought to do and doesn't do it. I don't want to be hypocritical in my life. I want my integrity to ring true. There are so many illustrations that maybe we could use, but we think of bells. I don't know if there's still a bell up there by the caretaker's house or not, but there was a few years ago. And I don't know where it come from, or I think they got it at the bargain. Because if I remember correctly, when you ring that bell, it don't sound very good. It's flat. Anybody remember that? This old bell over here has got a good ring to it. When you ring that bell, the sound is clear. And it carries, does it not? You ring that bell, if you ring that bell 3 or 4 good pulls, you can hear it for a long distance. But that bell back there, if you ring it, if it's still there, if you ring it good and hard, the same amount of effort put into it, you can get a little noise out of it, but it don't have a sharp, clear ring like this one over here does. Integrity that's solid, that's sound, will have a true ring to it. And it will carry a distance. It won't be something that just makes a little racket in the area that they're at. But it carries a long ways. It's something that will go beyond just the immediate vicinity that it's in. He says, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth?" We've heard some burden expressed about flesh this week too, you know. Have you ever been bit? I know I have, because I had a younger brother.
I was on the campground. I don't remember it, all right? I was on the campground earlier, and I was there in the aftermath just kind of observing one little child had bit another one. You know, as a parent, that makes you feel pretty helpless. But one of them was in real pain. And, you know, the thought of taking your flesh in your teeth is painful. I've been bit by a dog, and I don't like that either. You know, the thought of my flesh succumbing to teeth, it just the thought of it, it bothers me. But Job said, he's going to take his flesh in his teeth. We're much more beyond this, but obviously he's not talking about literally biting himself, his own flesh. He's talking about those fleshly appetites and desires of being able to take them in our teeth and force them, if you will, into subjection. Being able to take control of them. And if you get bit, you're going to feel punished. You're going to probably have, you might have some blood that comes out. And there could be various other possibilities. Could be some bruising happen. Job says, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand. May the Lord help us as we go from this setting this morning, and not just this little service here, but as we go beyond this camp meeting into the world that we face, that we recognize integrity is going to cost something. It's going to be, integrity is immensely valuable. And when integrity is tapped on, it's going to send out a clear sound. It's going to be something that goes beyond maybe our generation. We hear those references made about those that's gone on before. We heard it in this meeting. We're going to hear it more as time goes on. There's going to be those that's here today that's going to move off the scene, and there's going to be somebody bring up their name. They're going to remember the type of person they were, that the relationship that they had with God, and it's going to ring on beyond the generation that they lived in. It's going to ring on into the next, and maybe two or three generations down the road, and maybe a lot farther than that. My whole purpose, my whole burden this morning is that we would be prepared. The man that in Luke there, he says, which one of us would plan on building something without considering what it's going to cost? Today, I want us to be prepared. That's part of gaining the victory. Be prepared. There's going to be things that's going to challenge our integrity. We're going to have confrontations. We're going to feel like we're standing on the carpet in front of the king. We're going to feel like that on one hand, we disappoint those around us and possibly even our family to keep our integrity with the Lord. And there's other times that maybe we're choosing between disappointing one group of people and another group of people. May the Lord help us as we go out to be equipped to handle the things that life sends our way, because we're going to be challenged. This is not, we're not playing games, and we're not trying to pump you up so you can just kind of skim over the top. The reality is, the hardcore reality is, that you're going to meet some obstacles. Your integrity is going to come under question. You're going to feel like everything you've worked for is laying on the line. You're going to feel like all the progress that you've made in your walk with the Lord is hanging on a few words, a little bitty decision. And many times it really is. So when we're standing there feeling like that tremendous pressure, caught between a rock and a hard place, all of those things, may the Lord help us to recognize it's out there and be prepared. You pray for me.